the word says in the expression of what we were just singing. For by him were all things created. This is talking about the one we understand as the Logos, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should the fullness dwell. Hallelujah. I don't believe like the scientists that believe in a Big Bang theory like they do. But there was something similar. Everything in this universe and everything that we understand as reality was created by him, the second member of the Godhead. All of every substance, all the planets that we look at, they all come forth from him. At one expansion, he spoke them into existence. The Father spoke, but it came out of the one that we call the Logos. All of it. And guess what? Just as it went out, it's going to all come back in.
Amen.
There was a tremendous expansion. And now we're getting to see this vacuum. It's all coming back to him. It's all coming back to him. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're learning like I'm learning. Your first place, the reason why you were created, the reason why you came into existence, wasn't to serve a church. He'd put you in that. Wasn't even to serve a call. He'd put you in a call. Wasn't even to serve your family. He'd give you a family to go home with. But your first and foremost and unbelievable almost is to get to know him. Because
yeah.
We're all going back to him.
Yeah.
This whole thing's going back to him. So why don't you stand with me this morning and lift those hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's the creator. He's the firstborn of many brethren. So in him all things consist. So let's just lift our hands and magnify him and glorify him. He deserves it. We worship you, Father. We praise and magnify Jesus this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. We worship you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You're so worthy, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise and glorify you. I glorify you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We love you,
Jesus. Oh, mehakalesei diadola bokoso. I have created you for this purpose, that you'd get to know me. When things become confusing in your life and entangled and ensnared with a lot of busyness of thought and the simplicity of life seems to be something that is far distance, separated itself from you. Simplicity, focus, and the absolute of all things comes in this, that you stay on me and you stay in me, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you.
To know me and to walk with the firstborn in that place, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, not giving yourself over to the right or to the left. In that is a promise of security. In that is a promise. Not only does it bring intimacy, but out of that intimacy is an absolute of everything that I am than you are, because we walk together in agreement. Walk together with me in this agreement and see the expansion of your life take forward movement and forward progress. I desire to bring you into a place of exaltation, not as man would give you exaltation, but I desire each and every single one of you in this building this morning to be exalted in my presence and to know me in a place in these final hours that no man or no substance can bring to you. So come to me, court me, walk with me, speak with me, have fellowship with me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not presently of, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I just got in yesterday and crashed, so I didn't call anybody. I don't know what. All I'm getting is some scouting reports. Not only are we still here, but things thrived while we were gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can't ever get a straight answer from these guys that minister because they're too humble. They don't think they did anything, so I'll have to ask you later. Lord, we just take this time to receive what you prepared in giving, and we receive for the work of the ministry those things that you've prepared in our hearts now. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. We're going to fellowship in just a moment. We're going to have some baskets up here while you're fellowshipping. If the Lord's prepared something in your heart, you can go ahead and find a place, and hallelujah. But why don't you, as soon as you're ready, why don't you stand back up, and why don't you go and give somebody a great big hug? And these are up here for you at any time while you're ministering one to another. Hallelujah.
Well, Father, we thank you right now for everything that comes in each and every week, Lord. And Father, we just give you the glory and honor and praise that all the needs of this church are met.
Yes, hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for the signs and wonders and things that are coming that are going to usher them all in the days ahead. So, Father, as we prepare and continue to prepare for those days, Lord, to continue to lay in our hearts to, and in the hearts of all those that are listening, to give to the ministry of the church, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it. And we give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Candy and I, we love you and we did miss you. We appreciate all of your prayers for us while we were gone, and those who ministered. And but understand something, please. If I understand anything from the Word of God, from those passages out of Corinthians about who we are as a body, then one thing I'm understanding more and more is there are no bigs and there are no littles. In other words, if you're up here sharing, you're appreciated no more from the one that anointing comes from, or loved no more, thought no more highly of than your Father, or by your Father, than the one that's sitting out there, that's come, and that's their part, to come. And whatever your part is in the body of Christ, I can tell you this, there are no bigs and there are no littles. Hallelujah. We're just one. If he just happens to use you to do something, even when he happens to use you for a miracle, that source didn't come from you, it's him. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so glad to be home, and I was so glad to be there. It's good to be right where God wants you all the time. And I would love, I know that Pastor Dave comes down here, but I would love to just have the money one day to just rent a whole jet and take you all out there. Because there is something that it's just like how praying tongues has its own path. There's an experience in Immokalee, but there's also an experience there too. So you're not shortchanged, it's just another experience. And I love experiences in God. Hallelujah. Those wonderful experiences in God. Well, I won't know until after I listen and after I hear, but I understand just a little bit. There was some wonderful, wonderful messages and services that went on here, and we just give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. One thing I am excited about, and I'll report back to you, is this. We are not alone on planet Earth. We're not alone. Hallelujah. And there are hundreds and hundreds of people that I was meeting and talking to, and a lot. Just I never seen so many, I don't think, new people at the conference. So there's a lot of people that are hungry. They're really, really hungry. And I was messing with these guys in the break, and I said, man, you know, Alex and Renee, I was messing with them. I said, they made me mad out there. Not really. One day I was privileged. Some young guys had been calling me, and a long time before the conference, and just talking to me and stuff. And so they had to get me. You know, they had to get me, and they had to take me. They stole me away, and I think Candy went with somebody else that day. And the most anointed things in the world can happen over chicken wings. Buffalo, what's that restaurant? Buffalo Wings? Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings. Somebody said it's a sports bar. We turned it into a revival center. Hallelujah. But there was all these 20-year-olds and sitting there. They captured me and took me away, and they wanted to know, how do we take this to the next level? And I was listening, and I was like, what? Because I'm asking them what they're doing, and there's 20 or 30 of them meeting on Thursday night, guys and gals, and they come into the sanctuary, and they don't leave till Saturday evening. They go out if they need to and get their food, and they camp out in there and they just worship God all through the night and pray for revival. There's 20 or 30 of them that we think sometimes that, you know, that we're the only ones, and we're trying to go forward and fight the devil back, and he's got this one little cell here on earth. And God was just like, okay, yeah, you can believe that about yourself if you want to. But I want to show you something. Not really, we don't believe that. But it was good, and it was like they're like spending Thursday night, Friday night, and all day Saturday, and worshiping God and praying in revival, and Pastor Dave didn't ask him to do that. So I told these guys, I said, these guys are challenging you. I'm trying to make them mad. They were shaking their head like, no, they're not going to do that to us. I hope that's what their hearts were. Praise God. But no, he's pleased with you this morning. He's pleased with you being here. And you really are the apple of his eye. And I heard there was a message on love last week. Isn't that amazing? It's like we don't hear enough of it. The Holy Spirit's getting us. Why? Because he's getting us ready for the outpouring. More than ever before, he's getting us ready for the outpouring. But at the same time, I can tell you this. This whole vision is expanding more and more inside of me. And I know, like what he was saying this morning, and those of you that are hearing him, You know this, it's not a marriage to a church that he's after. It's not even a marriage to a call that he's after, but he really wants you to get to know him. He wants you to get to know him in a way that he can come, and he's not after us to find fault with us, but he's wanting to grow us up to a level that we've never been before. See, because I think it was Mark. Well, there was 7 or 8 of us that ministered, well, counting Pastor Dave and Tim, his associate. And you never know when you go out there. Some conferences I don't minister. And I don't want, I remember, it's like the further you go, the less you go. There probably was a time that I'd have paid to get to minister. And now I don't want to. I just want to go and receive and do whatever he wants. But a lot of times, in fact, nobody that's there, none of the ministers know, even the guys that are there in the house. They don't know until maybe the service before if they're going to minister, because they're listening and they don't put out who's going to be ministering. Although I think all the services are on YouTube, and you can go to Ictus. I think they have it all up. And somebody's seen one of the services already that I did, and I don't know how they got to that. Maybe it was through Ictus. But you don't know if you're going to minister or not, but I did minister, and there was Mark Jenkins. And how many of you remember Mark? He and his wife used to come here before they moved. And man, Mark has gone to another level. Praise God. Real another level. And then Alan Taylor. And he, if any of you want to listen to these guys, please go on Pastor Dave's website. And they've got websites. You can listen to them. And then Jim Martin. How many of you remember Jim Martin? And then they got all of them right except me, but they asked me for some reason. But no, the Lord came real, 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 real strong. And then, of course, Pastor Dave and Gary Carpenter. How many of you know who Gary Carpenter is? It was really, really wonderful. But all these guys ministered, but Dave probably did maybe less than all of us. Why? He told me, he said, Bronk, look, one time he said, when I first started out, when he started out, he said, Kenneth Hagin was like his mentor, and he loved Kenneth Hagin. And boy, he said, he just listened to all his stuff, and he said, he finally got booked a conference that he was going to go to, and he flew there or drove there or whatever, and he was really excited about seeing Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin didn't hardly even minister. And he turned it over to Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle and a bunch of other ones, whoever was there. And he realized this. He said he wanted the people to see that this works for everybody. There's no one person like a Kenneth Hagin or a Dave Roberson. If you do it, it'll work for you. If you apply it, it'll work for you. It'll take you, each one of you, whatever your call is, it'll take you to the next place. Your call might not be like my call. My call might not be like yours. You may be called to the fivefold. You may not be. But nevertheless, whatever your call is, he'll take you from glory to glory. And really, when your life starts becoming pretty manageable, guess what? It's ready to change. He wants to change you from the possible. When the possible kind of gets manageable, You're getting it to a place where the Holy Spirit wants to change you, where He wants to cause you to be able to step out on what seems to be nothing but the impossible, a place of where you're going to have to trust Him, because the Word says that the righteous will do what? We will live by faith. Hallelujah. Well, I like it when things are real comfortable. I do too. I like it when my next month is charted out and I know this and I know that and I know, but guess what? He thinks it's just fine for you and me to live in a place where we have to trust Him every single day. And part of that trust is what He's asking you and me to do is to come to a place where we get to know Him like never before. Like never before. Hallelujah. Well, there are a lot of people out there, which you knew already. You knew already that there's a lot of people out there getting ready to go into the next place. And the next place encompasses a harvest, a tremendous harvest for Him. And in that harvest, He's asking us all to go to a place where all of the insignificance in us comes to a place where all of our sufficiency comes from Him. See, what man and what the church a lot of times equivocates or derives as something to be exalted, God doesn't see it that way at all. In fact, you know what? God, He loves to exalt. Not in man's eyes, but what He'll come to you as a place of faithfulness inside of you that says, God, I don't feel it, I don't see it, but it says right here, these in Your Word, if I keep doing this, I'll come to this place. Now, these guys that were sitting across the table from me and these girls, this one girl and these several guys, and they were asking me, how do you take this to the next level? I said, well, you guys are doing it. You guys are doing it. Keep praying. Keep allowing the Holy Spirit to take you to the next level. That's the only way to get there. And I said, here's the thing. We as a group, or we as a body, or we as a church, you'll never get to a place where that, like say for instance, we progress on and we keep going, and I can tell you, all I can tell you, those of you that have been or not been, these conference services were more pure than I've ever seen before. There was more of a sense of family than ever before, but I can tell you that there was no competition, and there's only one desire, one mind and one accord, and that's to get to the place where He's called us to be so we can receive this outpouring, so we can go to a place called love, unconditional love. You probably heard a message about that last week, I bet. And I said to these guys, I said, look, we'll never get to a place that we take God takes us to a place where we say, okay, we've arrived. Okay, well, when we were little or when we were infants in our believing, this is kind of what we believed. We believed that you should confess the Word and the Word would take you to another level. Oh, and remember back when we just believed that praying in tongues was a language that would change us from glory to glory. But we don't, that's good, that's part of what we believe, but it's not, I said, that's part of a foundation that we'll never progress out of. We'll never get too big to a place within ourselves of progression. It's like, oh, I used to believe that confession was a power. Oh, I remember when we talked so much about private worship and what it did for us. But oh, now that we've gotten bigger and grown up, and now that we understand some things by revelation, that's really not, no. Listen, you never leave your foundation. You never progress past your foundation. You never get past a place. And all those things, though, are taking us to a place. Now, here's the exciting part. I was sitting there talking to him, and it dropped in my spirit. I said, look, wherever you're at on this path, I understand there's fivefold in here, besides myself and Homer and anybody else that's ever ministered while I'm gone. But here's the beautiful part about going forward. When God created Adam, And Adam opened his eyes for the first time. He's probably laying there. God breathed the breath of life in him, and it wasn't, it was life that he breathed. It wasn't breath. It was the very life of his nature. His very spirit came out. Adam didn't open his eyes. He wasn't a caveman. He didn't go, ooh, ugh. He had a full functioning brain. He had a full functioning brain in which he, an absolute genius. He was a botanist. He named all of the plants. He was a zoologist. He named all of the animals. In fact, every strand of DNA goes all the way back to Adam. In other words, if there's ever been a genius in any generation, it had to go back and have its gene pool coming out of his mind, out of his brain. Which means this, when he was created, he had to be the most brilliant man by far, 1,000 times probably, more than any, in fact, any genius that we've ever had on our planet would probably be an imbecile compared to Adam. The only thing that kept Adam from being able to take his iPhone and text Eve and say, Eve, I'm going to FaceTime you because I've found another plant here on the other side of the garden I want you to look at. It wasn't his intelligence. The only thing that kept him from getting in his Land Rover and driving someplace else was not his intelligence. The only reason why he couldn't get on a jet plane and fly and see, well, we haven't seen what's on the other side of the planet. It wasn't his intelligence. It was something called progression, which we in the natural realm, we call it technology. It was the progression of things. In fact, you could have taken him, if you could have transported him into our century, you could have, in 6 months, I bet you, in any field, medical field, he could have been a PhD and probably could have solved all of the incurable diseases of the world just through his brain, because it was a genius. You could have taught him aerospace dynamics and he could have put somebody in Mars in just a few months. Well, we call that technology. Well, guess what technology is in the spiritual realm? It's revelation knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. And for centuries, revelation knowledge was hid from the church because it went through a dark age. But just in the last 100 years or more, on our continent, has praying in tongues come to fruition? And then out of praying in tongues, which is a revelation gift, men have stood on other men's shoulders and we're getting closer and closer and men are having revelation and they're passing that revelation. So what happens here, Pastor Dave's been in the ministry for like 40 years, but you don't have to be in the ministry for 40 years. You don't have to go through all the things. I've been on this particular path for going on 20 years now, but you don't have to go 20 years. Listen. In the revival, in present tense, there are babies that are going to be born with teeth. Do you know what that means? Not only will they be born again, but because of the revelation knowledge that the baton that is being passed over to them, you don't have to wait. You don't have to be like, okay, well, Pastor Bronk was on this path. How long have you been on it? Well, if I compare myself to you, how many fasts have you done? Or how many hours do you pray? Or how many? And people get something twisted in their minds that they think God won't use me because I haven't served long enough and I don't know enough. Listen, there's enough revelation knowledge now that has come forward and the understanding more and more. We haven't arrived, but we're understanding who He is and what He's always wanted to do with the church and through the church to get this thing done towards the end. And this revelation knowledge, you don't have to now spend all of the decades that these men and even myself that it's taken for us to get to the place where we have the revelation knowledge. This baton which is, the world would call it technology, we call it revelation knowledge. If you take this, and here's the key though, you've got to do it. You can't just hear it. But if you do it, what it took one man 40 years, the next guy that received it can go there in 20 years. And then the next guy that perfects that, and the guy that was, if I say it like this, where Pastor Dave was at 20 years into this path, I should be, and I say this with all humility, far more advanced than where he was at. But guess what? If you take what he and I and others and what you're receiving, and you take that technology or you take that revelation knowledge and you apply it and you do it, you don't have to wait 20 years. You don't have to wait 10 years. You don't have to wait 5 years. If you get on it and stay on it, it'll take you to the next level. There are no bigs and there are no littles. There's just your call before the Lord. Hallelujah to God. One thing I ministered while I was there, thank you. While I was there, part of the message was on the examples of scarcely be saved. You've seen all that. But then the other part that tied into it perfectly, and it was amazing. How many of you know he's only got one Holy Spirit? And it would have honestly been like, if you'd have went in there and if you could have heard all of us, none of us knew that the next one was going to speak. And we never discussed, like, okay, what are you going to speak? Or what? We got up there and the jaws would drop because it would be the same message, the same thought, the same wisdom, the same understanding. While I'm trying to minister, I'm glad I did not see it, because I'd have been wondering what he's doing, because here's Candy, here's Kathy Martin, here's Jim Martin, and while I'm trying to minister, he's keeps tapping them both on the shoulder and pulling out notes, and he's saying, look, 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 I want verification. I want you to see, because he was going to minister. He didn't know until later. He may have got that morning also that he was going to. He said, look, look, look. The same verses. The same scripture. Not just one, but one right after the other. Of the same ones. Why? Because there's only one mind. And he's taking us forward. And we were not on different tangents and off on different ways, but we were all teaching the mind of Christ, taking us into that place where the body was growing up, the body knew their sufficiency was not of themselves, but of God, and that God had an appreciation for all of us, but he was taking us, and the end of all things is this. You know it. The end of all things is his love. That's where he's taking us. But one of the things that he had me minister, and I'm listening, but I don't think we'll turn there, because he just had me exhorting. It's the best way, because really in a few minutes he wants me to pray. How many of you remember that message on poison in the pot? Well, 2 Kings 4, you don't have to turn there, but it's amazing. Just four verses there. It's a short story, but I love it. I've already written a paper on it. We're going to start doing mail-outs again soon. But the amazing part was a short story. Elisha was the prophet. He was the prophet of the day. He was the prophet of the hour. And he had a school which was kind of like a Bible school. And he had that what they called sons of the prophets, or sons of the prophet. And he was training all these young guys. Well, that prophetic school, or that we'd say a Bible school, was in a place called Gilgal. And there was a, King James says there was a dearth in the land. That means a famine. And he came back to his school to check on his students. And there was a great, great, great famine. And so he said, put on this great pot. See this great pot. Get it boiling. And what his instruction was basically in those four verses, you find out that he said, it's going to be kind of a potluck kind of thing. We're not going to die, But everybody put something in it. Find something and put in it. Well, the amazing part was that one of the students, one of the young men, it says, went out into a field and he gathered a lap full. I mean a big heaping helping of a gourd, some kind of wild gourd. And the Bible says they knew it not. In other words, they weren't familiar with it. And he come back and he stripped off this gourd into the pot and everything else was being put in there. And they thought, okay, was cooking this up. And they cooked it. And then they dipped it out to everybody, all the students, everybody there that was started to eat. And as the word says, here's the part. It says, while they ate, or as they begin to eat, or not as they begin, it says as they ate, that one cried out, and he was a representative of everybody. He said, one cried out, Father, speaking to the main prophet, there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. Well, the death that he was talking about was poison. It was a food poison. The young man had stripped this off in there and put it in there, but he didn't know that it was a poisonous plant. And this one cried out, and it was a testimony of everybody. I can only imagine this. Do you know that feeling where, I wonder where the closest bathroom is. I'm not sure which end it's going to come out first. Oh, and you start walking like this, like you're... For those of you that are imagining, there's a pinching going on. That's Pepto-Bismol time. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I hope there's something real close here. Because it was either going to come up or come out, either way. Because the stomach couldn't take it. Well, have you heard that whole message before? Poison in the pot is wrong doctrine and wrong teaching. That's come, that Jesus prophesied that it would come. He said, look, give us the sign of your coming, Lord. Matthew 24. Well, it's going to be cataclysmic, earth-shaking, signs and wonders like this. And he did talk about the earth in a tremendous travail and the moon into blood and wars and rumors of wars. But surprisingly, he being the one that was living in the now, he wasn't answering the future for them based on their life. He was answering the future based on a bunch of people that would live in the future. He did give them one thing. Oh, you see this temple, that's going to be destroyed. That did happen. But he said this, here's my number one sign for you. In the last days, many shall come in my name, speaking and saying, I am Christ. Now, listen, you can't come in his name. Coming means representing his name. And also say, I am Christ. Those two are totally against one another. Actually, the better rendition or the better translation of that is saying this. They'll come saying, I am representing the doctrine of Christ. That's what they'll come. Nobody's going to fall. How many people on planet Earth is going to fall for a long-bearded, long-robed person saying, I'm Christ? That's Jesus looked forward and said, something is going to take place at the end. And he had to see a technological generation that had the capacity through TV, through internet, through iPhones, to in one moment's time, something could be spoken and it could be translated and conversed all around the world within just a matter of minutes. In a few hours, anything that I preach can be heard any place in the world. And I'm just one small ministry. Jesus had to look and see that there would be a time where so much would be said, but at times it would take the body of Christ away from the element of truth, which was Christ in us, the hope of glory, and to stay on that. And he said, look, the first and great sign of my coming is many will come representing me in the last days. and saying, I have the message of Christ, but they will have the capacity through technology to get the body of Christ totally out of kilter and totally away from truth. And the poison in the pot, well, the end of that story is the prophet, the man of God, he added something to it, and it neutralized the poison. But the truth was this, the understanding was this, it had the capacity, no matter how much the guy that was putting that in there, he did not know to start with he was putting poison in the pot. You can put an ounce of strychnine in 55 gallons of pure water. But do you want to drink some of it afterwards? No, because it can kill you. Well, he said there's death in the pot, there's poison in the pot. And we read this scripture, and this is one of the most familiar scriptures that we could possibly read in here. But this you can turn with me to Jude. Somebody said, what chapter? Would you like to know what chapter? Let me think, Michael said. Jude, one chapter, the verse that we turn to is 19. And it says this, these be they that have separated themselves, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, doing what? Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in what? The Holy Ghost. Now, that's important. Why is it important? Because I can tell you this, and if you've heard any of the series that we've done in the past, recent past, 2 Peter and Jude, parts of 2 Peter and Jude are as if I and Matt had the same subject. Somebody said, write an essay on this subject, and we had gone into the same room together, and I had looked over on his paper, and what do you got? Or he had looked over on my paper and said, what do you got? And we'd copied. But this wasn't a copy. These two men of God heard from the Holy Spirit, and one of their main messages was, this is what it's going to look like in the last days. Now, we don't have time, and that's not my assignment to go into all that. But there will be, as these men described, there will be a tremendous falling away. Jesus talked about that. But we've also testified to you this morning that there's a tremendous coming together. And Jude continues to reiterate what Peter is talking about those that will get away from the faith and those that will teach a lot of strange doctrine that will sound. Listen, here's the amazing part about the death in the pot. When they started to eat it, it passed a lot of litmus tests. What litmus test did it pass? It says, as they were eating. Well, it first passed the sight test. They first looked at it and said, no problem. The second test it had to have passed was it had to pass the aroma test. It must have smelled fine. The third test was when they put it in their mouth. Listen, when they put it in their mouth, it must have been like, oh, this is fine. This tastes great. Good stuff. It was only 20 minutes later or 30 minutes later or an hour later, somewhere in it, that they were like, oh, God, something's wrong here. There's a problem here. Listen, Hebrews chapter 5 talks about those that are of strong, those that are of full age are the ones that can receive full meat, who by reason of the exercise of their senses have learned to discern both good and evil. Do you know what the good and evil was there? It wasn't. Now, we say I use it in a lot of different ways. In fact, my life has been like this. I remember that Old Testament story all the time. When the Holy Spirit takes me to a place where something new comes into my life or something wonderful is given to me or an opportunity is given to me. By the way, some people are doing their best to try to get Candy and I to go for 2 weeks to Africa this summer. And it's getting closer to being a fulfilled temptation inside of us. I believe it. We'll see. But how many of you would like to see us go to Kenya for 2 weeks and do what God has asked us to do? But on every invitation, on every part of turn, should I do this? Should my life do this? Or should I accept this? Listen, you better always say, Lord, this smells good, it looks good, it tastes good. Is there poison in the pot? Guess what? You've got a discerner. It's called the Holy Ghost. Because He knows what tastes good today might taste terrible 6 months later. He knows what smells good today might be hell on wheels a year later. It might be something that you did, that the Father didn't sow, you sowed with good intentions, and you get down the road and you say, my God, where'd all these devils come from? Guess what? Go back to where this thing started. Well, that's an entire teaching in itself. But the Word says that strong meat belong to those who exercise their senses. And here's part of the exercise of the senses. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds us up. Now, I read Jude 20:19-20 like never before. I always know that every word of God is applicable for every generation. In other words, you could use it for it from the day it was written. But now this to me is like, because I know this is a prophetic book, and I know Peter is a prophetic book, I'm reading this now like front news newspaper, like today's newspaper. I'm reading it not just as a historical, but it has progressed to a place where I'm reading it like, this is what you said towards the end. And not only do you said this was going to happen, oh, but God, yes, I've appreciated all of the attributes of praying in tongues, how that it will give me, initially, Jesus said, it'll give you power to witness. I understand that. We understand in 1 Corinthians 14, it is a revelatory gift, a revelation gift. It is a gift that if you pray in it, the Holy Spirit will progressively compare it with the Word of God, and the lights will come on through prayer. The lights of understanding is a revelation gift. It'll grow you up. But here we find it as an inoculation gift. It, towards the ends, builds us up, and it is in total context, if we had the time this morning, to build line on line, that it is a revelation gift of inoculation. It's an inoculation against deception, against going after all these things. But oh, that's not the end of it. If we all stood in our ivory towers and said, oh, thank God we're smarter than them, we've got a revelation, we've got understanding, that's not the end of it. That's not why we receive understanding on praying in tongues. It's not so we can just feel safe. Guess what? The next verse says this: it keeps us in the love of God. It keeps us in the love of God. It takes us to a place. This all things are for Him, by Him. They all went out. They're all coming back. And He's saying, look, praying in tongues is wonderful, but praying in tongues has an end to it. It's not just to speak mysteries. It's to keep you, take you to the next level. The next level of praying in tongues is not just to stay in praying in tongues. It's not for us to just get built up. He wants us to get built up so we can go out. It's not so we can spend our hours in prayer. Spend your hours in prayer. But it's past that. It's to take us from prayer into service. It keeps us in the love of God so that the next level, the praying in tongues, takes us into the next level where we start hearing all these messages, change, change. We must go into the fullness of His love. Well, I just want to keep praying in tongues. No, sweetheart, keep praying in tongues, but you're not meant just to keep praying in tongues the rest of your life. You must progress to what praying in tongues is meant for. It is to take you into the fullness of the love of God. Well, what happens in the fullness of the love of God? We just feel fun. We just feel great? Oh, absolutely not. It's not for our emotion. I like to feel great. I like to feel cozy, cuddled up to God, but it's not even for that. It's not for our personal peace of feeling cozy and cuddled up for God, and that's a major part of it. But guess what? It keeps us in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Our mercy? No, not our mercy. We're about to be used as intercessors. this love, this progression of inoculation, it takes us into the place of love. But oh, it doesn't stop there. It's not a good feeling. I feel really good. Why do you feel good? Well, I'm safe. Well, wonderful. And I know how much he loved me. My condemnation is gone. Wonderful. Well, where's that supposed to progress to? The progression is this: keeping you in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Where do you find the mercy? You find it in this: on some, he said, having compassion, making a difference. All those that he listed there, and all those in Peter where he said they led others astray, and all of the world there in Peter, all the world that is searching, the body of Christ that gets a little amiss, that gets degrees off, 1 degree, 10 degrees, it doesn't matter. And all of the world in 1 Peter or 2 Peter that he's describing, that we don't have time to go to, and on some having compassion, making a difference. Others, he said, you'll save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Listen, why are we here? Why are we praying in tongues? Well, I want to be edified. Well, what does edification do for you? It builds me up. Why does it build you up? Because he's wanting to build me up. No, it's building you up so it can progress you to the next level. What's the next level, Pastor? The love of God. There's fearlessness in the love of God. Well, what kind of fearlessness? I'm not scared of the booze in the night anymore. I'm not scared that my family's not going to be fed anymore. No. It's a progression past that. That's part of it. But he wants you to put on asbestos gloves to go into the fire. He wants you to touch spotted garments. He wants you to touch things that are unholy and unclean, and you're not afraid. We don't come here on Sunday morning just so we can worship. We come on in here so we can worship and go to the next level, and not just so we can say, oh, I forgive my brother. I want to hug my brother now. It has to progress far more than that. It has to go to the place where we love the world and we can touch, the word says here, saving with fear. That's not our fear. It's the worshipful fear of the Lord that we've spent time in his presence, and we can touch spotted garments. We can touch the Satanists. We can touch the witches. We can touch, somebody said, oh, I'm just so scared they might have put a curse on me. Am I going to be okay? My God. Do you understand what we're called to do? Do you understand the place that he's called us? It's not just praying in tongues. Praying in tongues takes us to the next progression, which is his love. And in his love, we're able to go out there and guess what? It doesn't matter. We can step in poop. We can smell bad. In fact, I wish a bunch of you would come in here smelling bad because you've been touching garments that have been spotted by the world. That's how close they get to hell. But I bet you will, because I feel like I'm in a room full of people that love God. In fact, we're going to worship just a little bit more. And I saw this. So it's up to you. You can feel free in just a few moments if you want to quietly leave. And I know you're not leaving. But I do believe this. We're getting ready. For those of you that, any of you that gave in the past concerning the camera media ministry, we just met with some people. God's going to bring that into a place. So I wanted to let you know that. But that's only a small part. What he's looking for here is you to go to the next place. And that is a place of yieldedness inside of you, where you say, God, I don't know what you have to unravel inside of me, or I don't know what you have to change inside of me. But Lord, I believe that you can do it overnight. It won't take me 10 years to get it done. I can receive the anointings and the revelation that other men have, in a certain degree, paid the price for. But I'm going to pay the price because I'm going to take what they give me and I'm going to the next level with it. I'm going to let it change my life. I just want to just simply touch you. And if there's anything that he says to me, I will. I don't think this will take a long time. But if you want prayer, and if your heart is truly hungry for the next level of grace to take place in your life, then I'm going to ask you to come and stand. Let's all stand together this morning. Would you pray this prayer with me? You can contemplate it. You can think before you say, but Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to take me to the next level in Christ. Whatever that means to you, I hold it dear. I surrender to the best of my ability, to the Holy Spirit this morning. I yield to you, Father. Let me hear you. Let me hear your changes. Let me hear your chastening. Father, get me ready for this outpouring. Change me from glory to glory. I receive the portion of that glory this morning that is meant for me. Father, I love you. I choose Christ over and over again as the Lord of my life. Take me in this hour into His perfect will. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let that just begin to play. I believe I'll begin over here. Just receive it. You don't have to work for it. Just begin to receive it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I release the life of God. In Jesus' name. There He is. There He is. Receive that now. Just soak in this for just a few minutes. Balakarese. Just something of instruction that He's wanting me to tell you. One, in a practical sense, if you received a word this morning that may be edited off of the message, it'll go on the website, but I'm sure Candy can probably give you a master copy or something that you could pick your prophecy out of there and write it down. It's important that you hear it again. The other thing that I saw and heard was, just to say this, and you all know it, but we're still all in a war. And good services don't make the war go away. They just equip you. The stupid devil, some of the best, you'd think he would, but see, he doesn't have anything to do with my life. My thermostat's not set by him. You'd think he'd give you a honeymoon after a good service. You'd think, well, that I could just, you know, ride on this. Some of the best attacks I've ever faced was right after some of the best anointings and some of the best impartations. And I'm not prophesying that when you leave the parking lot. I'm just telling you, you make it through and you do well if you do what Miss Gay was talking about a couple of weeks ago. It was a prophetic word of the Lord. She may not have realized it then. But she reminded us all that we're supposed to be, as Nehemiah's warriors, we're supposed to be building and we're supposed to have the sword in our hand all at the same time. Hold your kids, play with them, go to their softball games, football games, live life, I'm talking about. Go ahead and keep living life. We're not a bunch of zombies. We're the church. But we're a church in action. Don't ever put your sword down. Don't ever put your shield down. We are in a war. He hates you. He hates you. You will do well. You will prosper and be happy and be blessed if you realize that you're in a war. And understand that if you keep going forward, everything that has been prophesied and everything that you yielded your heart to will progress and it will go forward. But also understand, none of us have arrived that any of the old things that we walked out of won't come back and try to haunt us and find a place in us. And if you have mortified that and have kept your shield up and your sword in hand, it will be like a mouse talking to a gorilla. It will have no place inside of you. But if we don't mortify, and if we lay our swords down, and if we try to ride on an anointing, don't ride on an anointing. Don't ride on these services. Ride on the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life daily. If you try to ride on an anointing, the mouse will become a dinosaur and he will eat the gorilla, because you will become awake. You will become part of just an aftermath of what he found in you to get over to you the temptation of despair, lust of the flesh, anything that he can empower your emotions, of offenses with your brothers and sisters. You say, man, we just had a wonderful service. Why are you telling us all this? I want you to retain it. I want you to retain it. Our God is an awesome God. The devil is nothing in him, against him. He is nothing against us while we are in him. But if we step out of him and live in the flesh, we will be devoured. But we will not be devoured inside of our God. Carry this life, carry this anointing, and let the love of God be perfected in you. God bless you all this morning. Amen.